Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
And welcome one and all. It is the ATS Mix Show. It is episode 83, and I am Johnny Anonymous.
And I am Dave Rabbit. What's going on, Johninator?
Not much. Just trying to get used to some of this freaky, I was going to use another word, but freaky weather that we've been having here in California.
Oh, really? What kind of weather are you having?
Well, it stays hot. I mean, very hot. We hit record heat. And then we go to some very cold periods and lots of wind.
We've got a lot of wind here in Texas today. So, but it's hot. I mean, it's like right now it's 92 as we're recording this, which is in 6 p.m. Central Dallas time when we record this. So, and we hit 102 today, I think, in Dallas. Crazy.
That is crazy. Know? Hey, so far, we've had great accolades with our interview we did last week with Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, we really have. We've had a buttload of UTUs and emails. And believe it or not, I mean, as controversial as Jesse was and is, 99.9% of them were all very positive. I think there was one guy that had a problem about something, you know. But, I mean, I'll take those numbers any day of the week on an interview, John.
And, you know, I have found out that no matter where you go, there's always going to be somebody that's going to be disgruntled, whether it's like, well, why are you interviewing them and not this person? You know, there's always going to be somebody in the pack that's not going to be happy. But if you have any suggestions for a guest that you would like to have us interview, you know, all you have to do is call our toll-free number at 1-877-417-2204, and we'll try to get that person that you suggest on as soon as possible. Hey, still talking
about...
And
of course, they have another way, too, and that's to simply go into the ATS Mix area under Guest Forum. There's a thread there that says, I don't know what it says, something about who would you like to see interviewed? and you simply go into that and post for all you paranoia guys and gals that don't want to call. So you have two ways to do it. So
yes.
Anyway. And before we jump off of Jesse, are you going into somewhere else before we get off of Jesse?
No, please. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, before you get off of Jesse, I figured it was time. You know, I'm tired of Spencer and Doc with their little movie trivia thing. So I decided I'm going to come up with one that's going to be really hard to figure out. And it's really easy to figure if you start with the Jesse Ventura interview on show 82. Because during the course of the interview that Johnny and I did with Jesse, he refers to a movie, and I'm not talking about Predator. He refers to a movie when he's making a point. Now, for 10,000, not 500, baby puppy, but 10,000 ATS points, if you can name me the movie, the year it came out, the stars of that movie, tell me also the stars that were in the movie, what other movies that they combined and played at. It may have been just been two of them or three of them or whatever, but there's several movies that those stars in that particular movie played in that were separate from this particular movie. And then the final thing you have to do, and this is the 10,000 point buster, there is something historical about this movie, and if you search enough, you're going to find it.
Okay. So I think we've got it all down. In summary...
And I know I'm not going to post it because that'll be my out in case there's a tie. Okay, anyway, we got a great show, John. Charlotte King, that was a requested interview by the ATS membership.
Absolutely, and she is, for those that may not know, she is the official earthquake lady. In fact, she has gone under rigorous scrutiny and scientific research as to why she's able to feel and sense seismic activity that's going on worldwide, and she's just a fascinating lady. In fact, if you're, unless your heart is full of stone, it's going to rip out a part of your feelings and emotions, because she is such a sincere, lovely lady, and my heart just goes out to her for all the pain that she goes through.
Yeah, really. And also, we've got, of course, our typical sightings and the skeptic overview. So, John, what do you say we rock and roll?
Rock and roll.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From above, topsecret.com.
Ah, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings
from around the world.
This is Tamaril from godboxcafe.com with reports from across Canada. In the last 10 days, this entire country has been buzzing with reports, but given our time constraints, these are three of the earliest sightings, all of which were submitted to the HPCC UFO research site. On May 11th, at around 3 a.m., between Saskatoon and Dundurn, Saskatchewan, a witness was driving along grid roads when three or four orange orbs appeared in the sky, weaving in and out of sight for 15 to 20 minutes. At one point, as many as 12 were present at the same time. The witness called a friend who lived 15 kilometers away near Clavette, and the friend confirmed the orbs were clearly visible from that position as well. The lights were fairly high in the sky until one began hopping low above the fields a few miles to the south. The driver attempted to pursue the orb in the field but lost it after a few miles due to dust from a windstorm. At 11 p.m. on May 17th in Vernon, B.C., a witness was out on the balcony when a bright light appeared above the eastern horizon. With the aid of binoculars, the observer could distinguish two plane headlights, but these did not flash, nor were they the regular shape. They resembled slits, and it appeared as though they had an upper eyelid. As the plane proceeded to get closer, the headlights seemed off-kilter, with one apparently ahead of the other. And again, a morphing black cloud-like shape surrounded the lights, giving them an eerie, unnatural appearance. No noise was audible except the nearby air conditioner. The next evening in Salmon Arm, B.C., at around 10:15 p.m., a witness was camping and spotted an orange-red light between a tree's branches and assumed at first that the tree may be on fire. On closer inspection, it was understood to be something in the sky that looked like a comet about to fall into the nearby lake. As it got closer, the witness could make out the red, orange, and white flashing lights and photographed it with a cell phone. Less than a minute later, it changed direction and sped off the way it came. This is Tamaril from Godbox Cafe reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
These are the reported sightings over the United States. This is David C. In Wembley, Texas, an observer spotted three white, star-like lights moving east to west across the sky in a fixed triangle formation. It was an uneven triangle with two longer, equal sides leading. The lights were solid and did not blink or twinkle. They moved in a straight and unwavering path at a fixed speed comparable to the speed of typical air traffic. The altitude was at least 30,000 feet or more, maybe higher. Distance-wise, the lights appeared to be an inch or so from each other. The observer stated, "I cannot say for certain if the lights were separate objects or corners of one singular craft, as I couldn't make out any other details. I watched this formation cross the sky for over a minute or so until it was finally out of sight. All was silent before, during, and after this object passed." In Georgia, a viewer observed what appeared to be a bright object falling at about a 45-degree angle towards the ground at a high rate of speed. The observer stated, "I saw a bright object falling from the sky. The object appeared to have two explosions during its descent, though I could not hear them. The explosion came from the object and were bright enough to be seen in the night, with a high visibility light source in front of the object and a clear star field behind the object. After the second explosion, the object disappeared. I initially thought that the object might have just been a falling star or an asteroid, except that it did not have the usual characteristics of a falling star. It did not appear to have a trail of burning debris from it as it entered the atmosphere, streaking across the sky. It did not burn out quickly. I watched it for about 30 seconds as it fell. I did not hear its impact on the ground, and there were no reports of a crash that happened locally in the news the next day." This is David C. reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
A-A-T-S Mix featured interview.
Well, Dave, you know, last week in episode 82, we had a little trailer slash teaser with a fine woman by the name of Charlotte Keene, who is an expert in her field, and it is kind of interesting how she became an expert in her field. And Before we actually bring her on, let me tell you a little bit more about her. Charlotte Keene, of course, is best known for her accurate predictions of Mount St. Helens' major eruption on May 18th, 1980. She was only 12 minutes off, and that's incredible just in itself. This brought her, of course, into the limelight and caught the attention of scientists and medical professionals and journalists around the world. It was not soon after that that she was seen in print in such headlines as The Incredible Ears, The Earthquake Lady, and many others. In 1981, Charlotte caught the attention of biologist Chris Dodge, who was with the CRS, better known as the Congressional Research Service of the U.S. Library of Congress. And a short time later, Chris and Charlotte became co-authors and co-investigators of a volunteer project, Migraine. Volunteer Project Migraine. Charlotte soon found out that she was not the only one suffering the same symptoms prior to a major earthquake or volcanic event. Soon afterwards, scientists and doctors alike coined this phenomena as the Charlotte Keene effect. It's now been 32 years since this all started, and the ATS Mix just couldn't be happier right now to have with us this honored member of AboveTopSecret.com and guest, Ms. Charlotte Keene. Hi, Charlotte. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Great.
We're great, Charlotte. Listen, we really appreciate you coming on board. And again, like Johnny said, we really appreciate you coming on last week for the Jesse Ventura Show on Show 82 because, you know, you and Jesse made one heck of a 1-2 combination, girl. You know that, don't you?
Oh, I didn't, but thank you.
Oh, yeah. They're still talking about it right now. They said, wow, Jesse Ventura and Charlotte Keene, man, what a great show. But they haven't seen anything yet until they listen to this show because Johnny and I have been chomping at the bits to get you on here. And I got to tell you, before we get started, John Donator, is that we had numerous U2Us when we put up the in the guest form of the ATS Mixer and said, you know, who would you like to see interview? We had numerous U2Us from members of AboveTopSecret.com to interview you, especially as John had said before in a kind of a prequel, you know, when we did the Stan Deo interview and everybody was so intent on that. But boy, people are just chomping at the bits to hear what you have to say.
Well, I'm pleased to be here. Thank you for asking me.
Well, we really appreciate it. Obviously, you know, growing up as a kid, you had passions and desires and whatever. What was your interest when you were like a kid growing up, Charlotte?
Well, it depends on what age we're talking about.
Well, I wasn't going to ask you your age, just so you tell me.
That's okay.
You know,
I'm almost 62, and that doesn't bother me at all.
Good, because I'm going to be 60 in August, so we're real close in age. So
I'm going to be 62 in August. So
you know, I knew there was going to be a connection here, John. I just wasn't sure what it was.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
That magnetic personality.
Thank you.
Oh,
we're both Leos. You think this is going to be a great
friend?
Oh, listen, I'm telling you, another Leo? Are you kidding? A female Leo is like a diamond in the rough. Okay, anyway, as you're growing up as a kiddo, we both grew up, you know, I was born in 48, you were born a couple of years before that, so we kind of were in the same gender. So in the 50s growing up when you were a kiddo, what was your passions or what was your likes and dislikes, Charlotte?
Well, I don't know. I liked the music of that era very much. I liked school, actually. Which was a surprise, but I did. I liked to go hiking at that time. Used to go down, walk along the river. Just that type of thing. Nothing really spectacular. I loved cats. I still love cats.
And I understand you locked two of them out of your room while we're doing this interview. Thank God.
Yes, I did. Yes, my youngest two females I did lock out.
Well, any scientific background, anything that got you a passion to learn more about the geographical stuff that, you know, now is...
In 1976, when all of this began, I was searching, as anybody would be, I think, for the cause of the sounds I began hearing. And I saw an ad in the paper for a class at the college in parapsychology. So I signed up immediately because one of the things they were going to cover in this course was pyramids. And I've always been fascinated by pyramids.
Really?
And so I took a course in parapsychology. That gave me a lot of insight, I think, into other things that you don't really think about on a regular basis. And,
right.
I think that probably opened me up to a lot more ideas than what I had already. And I feel it was a really good thing that I did that because it allowed me to be more of who I really am.
Now, prior to you actually getting yourself involved in these studies, were you already starting to feel like you were having some of these early sensing symptoms? Or when was it that you actually became aware that there was something different that correlated with events of the world?
Well, I began hearing the sound in 76, and I started tying it into earthquakes in late 78, early 79, but I still didn't know there was a connection to that aspect. Right. Until 1979 in June, when we had the major beaching of whales here in Oregon. We had 41 sperm whales die on the southern Oregon coast of Florence, and what had happened is I had called the local radio station and didn't get any information, so I called the local TV station in Portland and talked to them, and I said, something is happening, and they went and checked the wire service, and they said no. And I said, well, I know there is. I can feel it. And I was very upset. I was weepy. I could hear the sound. It wouldn't stop. And there was no pain involved at that time. And a few hours later, they interrupted the television programming to tell us about the beaching of the whales. Within 72 hours of the beaching of the whales, there were 4 quakes in Big Bear, California. And I thought, oh, the whales heard what I heard. They became confused. They beached. And it just made perfect sense, and it just put it all together for me. From that point on, it was just what it was.
Right. When you get into one of these sensing modes, try to walk us through it. Is it something that builds up slowly? Is it something that hits you real hard? Give me an idea. Okay, not just, in fact, this will be a perfect example. Just a few weeks ago, we had a major, major earthquake where thousands upon thousands of Chinese died in that big major earthquake. Give our listeners an idea of what leads up to you being able to sense that something is wrong in that part of the world.
Well, with the Chinese quake, there was a lot of other activity going on, and I was having my headaches, which I always have. I'm never without a headache. I was having back pain. I was having stomach problems, which tie into another area that we will probably talk about later. But with the China thing, I was on the computer, and I started getting really bad earaches in my right ear. I'm sorry, my left ear. And China always causes severe earaches in the left ear. And then I started getting that crackly sound, like saran wrap or cellophane crackling in your ear, and that's what it sounds like. It just was continuous. It wouldn't stop. So I went on my emails, and I sent out an alert to keep an eye out on China, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the Nicobar Islands, because those are the areas that have in the past been tied into that type of symptom. Then I started getting very weepy, and I knew that there was going to be a lot of people die, and I put that out as well, you know, a very heavy sadness, and I said, you know, there are going to be people dying here, and then it was just a day or so later that it happened.
Well, while we're at that point where you were talking about your email thing, why don't you go ahead, and we'll do this several times in your show, but why don't you tell everybody your website address, which we'll, of course, we're going to post, and that they can sign up for this mailing list that you just got through talking about.
Okay. The website is www.visor, that's V like Victor, I S like Sam, .net/tilde sign, which is the top symbol to the left of the one, and then the word Sharking, Charking, /.
And then how do they sign up for the email thing?
The emails are just Sharking, Charking, at Visor, V like Victor, I S like Sam, .net.
And all that is...
You would like to subscribe.
Yeah, and all those things are right there on your website, too, so where they
are, and I'm always open to questions, comments, feedback. If you're in a world of hurt and it's 2 a.m, call me, because if you're in a world of hurt, I'm going to be too, so I'm not going to be sleeping.
What in the world were you thinking to put your phone number up on the internet?
You know, it's amazing. I haven't got any bad calls or anything on it. It's been a very wonderful tool. It's brought me a lot of joy and a lot of people into my life that I wouldn't have had.
Really? In other words, you haven't had any downside to having your phone number on the internet?
No. Occasionally somebody will get the idea they need to call me every 15 minutes and ask me a question. But other than that, I'm fine. No problem. I really do appreciate the calls.
See, that would be like Dave's character that would be doing that. He'd be calling you every 15 minutes.
Yeah, in different voices. Yes. Sorry. Okay. All right. Now off the sidebar and now to the real question. Charlotte, you know, I tell you what's really amazing when I've done all these studies on you and everything and visited your website and whatever. What was the process to figure out the pains that you were having in relationships to the events that were occurring in their locations? How long did it take you to kind of narrow that down?
Well, in 1979, I believe it was September, I started getting really bad earaches. And I thought, well, gee, I don't know what that's all about. But I just wrote it down. And then I started getting chest pain to the point that it frightened me. And I went to the heart doctor, and they said, no, your heart's fine. And I had my ears looked at, and they said, no, your ears are fine. And then 3 days later, there was a series of quakes in Italy. And Italy is heart and ears together. And the interesting thing is, in listening to one of the news programs after that earthquake in Italy that did take some lives, they reported that they had a lot of people complaining of earaches before the quake, and three people had actually perished before the quake of heart attacks. And I thought, oh, okay, that makes sense. Earaches and heart. And that's how it came together. But for the most part, I took a calendar, the ones like have the blocks on them, and every time I had a symptom that was unusual, I'd write it in one day, and then I'd go forward 3 days and wait for the event to see what it was. And that's what I did for about 6 months. And even today, I still get new symptoms that I can't identify, and I have to wait to see what they're going to be.
Wow.
And how... Yeah, that is amazing. How early do these symptoms happen before the actual event occurs?
Depending on the event, averaging 12 to 72 hours, give or take 12 hours. Washington State is 84 hours. I don't know why. And it's, of course, right next to me here in Oregon. But Mount St. Helens, now that was a whole different thing. That was continuous for months. It never did let up. But I think that was part of the proximity and partially due to the fact it was volcanic. Volcanic events cause much more pain than earthquakes cause.
Oh, is that right?
What do you think that is?
I think it's because it's deeper within the earth and the frequency is lower because it's a low frequency they believe that causes the symptoms that we are getting and feeling in our bodies.
You know, we talked earlier about, as I was doing the bio introduction before bringing you on, we talked about a biologist by the name of Chris Dodge, who was with the Congressional Research Service. I'm curious, there had to be some point in time in your life when you said, you know what, I need to have this confirmed by an outside source. Was there ever any testing or anything done to try to correlate this on a research level of what you were sensing?
Well, in 1979, first I had a Professor Stone come from the Oregon State University and brought sound equipment to my home and measured the sound and was able to pick up the frequency. And then a little later, Dr. Leland Jensen came from Oregon State University with a sound truck and did pretty much the same thing, a little bit more in depth. He had a spectrum analyzer and all. And then just prior to St. Helens, Rick Tell came from the United States Environmental Protection Agency out of Las Vegas, Nevada, and he did a lot of testing at my home in different areas of the city where I live, and was able to ascertain the sound was there, it was real, it was everywhere they tested, including in the sound attenuation booth at the Oregon State School for the Deaf, where they had determined I had subjective tinnitus, or sound within my own ears. But Rick said when they put the apparatus inside the testing booth and they plugged it in, they put it in a wine jug and plugged it with clay and hung it up in the middle of the booth to see if they could pick up any sound, the sound was real and 59 times higher than their ultimate measurement capability at the low frequencies of 10 hertz or below. And so whereas most people hear 25 to 32 hertz, I hear 2 to 7 and below. Subsonic sound.
Right.
All right. Well, then that leads me to this question. Do you experience these things that you experience, do they happen every day? to you? Or
they're 24/7.
Okay.
24/7, okay. Because there's always something happening somewhere.
Okay, then this leads me to my second part of this question, and that is, you know, you're having dinner with the family, right, or whatever. Are you
right.
married? Are you married?
Yes, I am. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. So how long have you been married?
Go ahead. I've been married 22 years this time, almost 18 years the last time.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, congratulations on both counts, because that's a lot longer record than a lot of people can profess.
Well, I'll tell you, we found out back in 1980 with St. Helens, it is very detrimental to marriages. Both Chris and I divorced within a year.
Okay, now you, oh, God, you're reading.
She's good, isn't she? She's good.
Are you a member of the Dionne Warwick Psychic Network, Charlotte?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, that's good, because they went bankrupt, and she didn't see that one coming. Okay, but the reason why I'm saying this, and I know I always make fun of Dionne Warwick, but here's my question. You know, you only profess just exactly where I was going with this thing. I mean, obviously, this kind of thing, I mean, it's kind of like someone that sees in the future. I mean, those people that you profess they see in the future. I mean, mm-hmm. This had to have really created some real havoc for your family.
It did. It did a tremendous amount of damage to my family. Not to mention the fact that I created a great deal of the damage myself, because I was so intent upon trying to find out what it was I was hearing and where it came from. I was calling anybody and everybody, and I was running up $2,000-$3,000 phone bills every month.
Wow.
And you can't do that. I also was not available to take care of my children like I should have been. I was down sick 90% of the time. I had to quit my job because of activity at Mount St. Helens. I couldn't even walk across the room without walking into something. My husband, bless his heart, he was, for lack of another word, at that era, he was a computer-type person. He worked for one of our local phone companies, and if it wasn't something that he could see, taste, touch, or feel, it didn't exist.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So it just wasn't working anymore. And so I regretfully ended that marriage. And the hardest thing I ever did was give him full custody of the children, because I couldn't take care of them. And
wow.
I moved to California because I needed to be where there. I thought there were a lot of activity, and I could hone my symptoms and my timelines and things a little better. And I got to California, and actually I felt better than I did in Oregon.
You mentioned earlier briefly about the Mount St. Helens eruption. In a case like that, all right, so you have a symptom that happens, and you go, oh, my goodness, this is going to happen, and it's going to happen in this time frame of, 24 to 30-some-odd hours, is that correct?
12 to 72.
Okay, sometimes up to 72 hours. Who on earth mm-hmm. would you have called for something like that? And if so, would they take you seriously?
Well, I was calling our local ABC network in Portland, and they had actually logged 69 out of 69 accurate predictions with me before St. Helens ever erupted.
Ah, all right. So they were aware of you already.
They were already paying attention. Mm-hmm.
Now what? Now,
and that's before the pain started.
Right. Well, now this also
that's
brings
just
up
the sound.
This brings up an interesting sidebar for me. I would imagine with the percentage of hits that you have, I would imagine that it's a pretty high percentage. What percentage of positive hits would you say you have?
Worldwide, I would say 75 to 82%, and some areas, probably a dozen or more areas, 100%.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is perfect then. This is great for my sidebar question. I would assume then that with that type of hit percentage being so high as it is, that there would be other factions that would be interested in you. So my question, of course, we work for a conspiracy group, so this question
sure.
would have to come up. Would there be at any time in your life somebody from, say, what we affectionately call the Alphabet family?
We love those guys.
Yes, the DOD,
oh, the
NSA,
Alphabet group? Yes.
The Alphabet Group, CIA, any one of
oh,
those
yeah.
three-letter acronyms. Have you ever been approached? And if so, what was it that they wanted to know?
Well, let's see. First of all, I received a threat from the United States Navy.
Really?
Back in 1980, I had a call from a Commander Copeland of the 13th Naval Command in Seattle. And he told me there was a senior officer on the line, and he ordered me to cease and desist and no longer speak about what I was hearing and what I was feeling.
Wait. Dave's got to stop you here. I know, Johnny, it's not my turn. We take turns, by the way, Charlotte. But, you know, he also knows that when something infuriates me that I'm going to jump in and step all over him. And, of course, I'll pay for that.
All I did at that time was scare me, but now I would have been infuriated.
I'm going to pay for this later, but that's okay because this really ticks me off being military, ex-military. All right, so what did you do that prompted them to sit there and tell you to cease and desist?
Well, mostly I was talking a lot about the sounds I was hearing and how they seemed to have a pattern like a code. And it got them very upset because of the Trident submarine system up in Seattle, and they were pretty sure that I was picking that up, which I was, but, you know, I don't care. It didn't make any difference to me. It was just sound. I couldn't read it anyway, but they didn't like it. I guess it scared them a little bit, so they made this phone call to me, which really made me, you know, it scared me because I was very easily intimidated at that point, but it also made me angry because, hey, you know, I'm not in the Navy. You can't tell me what to do. And then right after that, I started getting phone calls with Slavic accents.
Really?
Just asking me if it would be worth their while to come and talk with me, or is this the woman that hears earthquakes? And, of course, I told them I was the woman that heard earthquakes, and who was this? And they would not identify themselves. And after about the sixth call, I called the alphabet guys and said, stop these calls. I never got any more.
Wow. Now, was this before or after when the village people did in the Navy?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, Dave.
I never thought about that. Maybe I gave him the idea.
In the Navy. Sorry. I always like making fun of those Navy guys. Because right, it ticks me off, John. I'm sorry. It ticks me off. This is absolute gold to me, John, because, you know, here's Charlotte, this beautiful, sweet, good-natured, good-hearted woman. She's sitting there trying to figure all this stuff out herself, and they sit there and call up and make a threat. Now, what kind of, you know, that drives me insane, John. You know it drives me insane.
Yes. Charlotte, what other agencies have shown an interest in your abilities?
Well, I was tested in Seattle at the hyperbaric decompression chambers there. They put me there twice. That was very interesting. Nearly blew my eardrums, but it was interesting. Then when I was in California, they put me in the anechoic chambers at Sacramento State University. Then they put me in the thermogram research labs in Modesto, which we never got to complete our tests there because I have the true Charlotte King effect isn't so much picking up the earthquakes. It's picking them up and transferring that energy to other people. And I'm known to make people ill by being around me. You know, when people say, you make me sick, they mean it. So this doctor got really sick working with me. They said he went home and he would not speak with me. He never finished the test. He totally was like I'd never been there. And I've called to talk to him on several occasions and they said he won't talk with you.
Well, now that's interesting.
And, I think it frightened him because he had never been around anything like that before. And then they later took, with Chris's help and donations that were brought in from various factions, I was sent to Colorado, to Boulder, and I was tested at the United States Bureau of Standards Magnetic Testing Laboratories. And they also used what they call the squid machine on me at that point. And this is a machine that has to be kept at minus 450 degrees all the time. It's
wow.
So sensitive, except when it's in use. And it measures the magnetic output of the brain. And while I was there, they also sent me through the University of Colorado at Boulder psychiatric department, and I went through all the psychiatric tests to make sure everything was okay on that level as well.
All right, I got to ask you a question.
Sure.
I know. John always laughs at me because he wants to. Thank God he lives in California and I'm in Texas because, boy, if we were next door neighbors, he'd be running over here beating you up with a stick. But I got to ask you this. You said hyperbaric chamber. You said almost bursted your eardrums or whatever. And you went through this battery of tests. Do you think any of those tests, Charlotte, actually enhanced your abilities to do all these detections?
No, I don't. The gentleman at the hyperbaric chambers, Dr. Powell, it was interesting what he said. What they did at the chambers, they sat down and they had a book, and there was a tender inside the chamber with me, and he would ask questions outside, and the tender would ask me the question, and then they would wait for the answer, and they just sort of opened the book at random to do this. Well, what happened is that before they could ask me the question, I had already answered it because I could hear everything that was being said outside. And what Dr. Powell said here, and we quote, it says, "We noted that her hearing was rather acute. She was able to hear the instructions relayed to the tender over earphones, although the tender with good hearing was not able to hear any sound coming through the chamber wall when he did not have the assistance of the headphone communication system. We on the outside also noted that sounds could not be heard from inside the chamber, and the chamber was one half inch thick steel walls."
Wow. You see, here again, I think this would be a reason why one of the alphabet companies would find you very fascinating and would want to recruit somebody like you.
I don't know. I know that that there was more than one meeting over at the Battelle Institute in Washington that I was one of the subjects of that meeting. I was never invited, but I was the subject of the meeting.
Well, you know, Johnny and I have been the subject of many meetings.
I bet.
Yes. All right. Charlotte.
Sorry.
You've come to coin, and please forgive my co-host, you've come to coin a few phrases here, and I wanted to ask you what the meaning of them might be, as Dave's got me so flustered.
Sure.
I'm so flustered right now, I don't even know where my place is. But I believe some of the terms was seismic flu, solar flu, domino islands, things along that line. Explain to our listeners what those terms actually mean and what led you to come up and coin them.
Okay, when the Wasatch area, which I include mostly Idaho, Utah, Montana, Wyoming, and West Yellowstone, or when the New Madrid, which is, of course, Missouri, Illinois, all those states back there, you know, about 17 different states that are affected by the New Madrid, the symptoms you get for the Wasatch are mostly related to stomach pain, low back pain, and, for lack of another word, intestinal flu. And with the New Madrid, it's both stomach flu and intestinal flu. So I learned to coin a term to make it just sound a little better, seismic flu. Hmm. And so seismic flu is the instantaneous onset of stomach or intestinal flu symptoms that come and go within 12 to 24 hours without a fever. That's seismic flu.
Do large mass coronal ejections off the sun, will that affect your sensing properties?
It doesn't affect my sensing properties, but it sure makes me sick.
Yeah,
right. I actually pick them up before they happen and have notified them on several occasions before big flares occurred.
Okay, you're the perfect person for me to ask this to. I was observing from the 20th of May a huge, enormous object coming towards our solar region near the Earth and the sun. And by the 23rd, mm-hmm. I was able to make this object out to be much larger, in fact, from my perspective, larger than the Earth itself. And on the 23rd, it actually did get swallowed up by the sun approximately a million kilometers away. In fact, I posted up a thread in AboveTopSecret.com called "Comet Hits the Sun?" Question mark. And there was some SOHO data, and it created a huge mass coronal ejection. Were you able to feel that or prior to that on the 23rd or the 22nd?
What I did have was, and I reported this on my email group, that what happens to me is solar events change my pH balance.
Okay.
And I have 18 karat gold rings, and yet my fingers turn black from the gold.
Wow.
And I get really bad heartburn. And both of those things are precursors to what I call solar flu, which affects the area of the sternum and goes right through to your back. It mimics a gallbladder attack, for lack of another word, if you've ever been unfortunate enough to experience one. And after spending 16 hours in pain in 1998, I ended up in the hospital by ambulance, told them that it was solar activity, and of course they wrote on the chart delusional. And I got in there and I said, well, how can you call me delusional when you bought my own packets and used them to treat your patients here? Back in 1980 at the hospital.
Right.
And so I explained to them what it was and what it was happening, and that they had already had that week like six X flares in about 3 days, very high X flares in 1998. And this was about the 28th of August, I believe, somewhere in there. What happened is nothing happened. And I thought, what in the world? Well, then 2 days later, there was a report out from NASA that we were hit with the largest burst of energy from deep space that we'd ever been hit with.
Right.
And that was what it was. It hit me and knock me over the top on my physical symptoms, and that's why I got so deathly sick.
God.
And these CMEs, they do the same thing. That pain hits the sternum and goes into the back, and it feels like you've got a upper backache or you've slept wrong or something, and it just doesn't go away. So what I've been doing is using Lethicin, which is across the counter, very safe,
right.
And it does take it away. And Lethicin is used for gallbladder colic, and then the doctor says, oh boy, well, that means you've got gallbladder problems. And I said, no, I don't, because I've got 16 people on my group that have the symptoms periodically.
Right.
Four of those people have had their gallbladders removed, and they still get the symptoms.
Wow. All right, let me ask you a question, Charlotte. I mean, it begs to be asked. I mean, see, she's really getting into the Dave mode now. It's that Leo personality, baby.
It's scary.
It's real scary, but that's okay. I can handle you. Leo to Leo, bring it on, baby puppy. But here's a question. So how many years, Charlotte, have you really been experiencing all this stuff? 20 years? 30 years?
32 years.
Okay. In 33 years, was there ever a time that you said, man, I'd give anything if I could just have maybe one day or 2 days or whatever, and just all this stop and go away?
Yes. On many occasions, I have done that.
All right, tell me
when
what
I
goes through your mind.
I want to
know what goes through your mind when you reach that point. I mean, obviously, you already professed that, you know, it really created havoc with your family and your own children. So is it like a monumental thing like that where you go, oh, man, is this really worth it or what?
Well, I guess the part that's hardest is like with the recent activity in China and the quakes that have taken place in other areas this last year, the volcanic event in Chile that was very uncomfortable. I have to get up and go to work every morning at 7. And, you know, I'm not as young or as healthy as I was back in 1980. And I seriously wonder if I'm going to survive another major series of events.
Right.
And so, yeah, I do wish it would stop sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah, I do.
If this happens 24/7, what would you guesstimate, and this is just a sidebar off of what Dave asked, what would you guesstimate is the longest period of time that has passed before you actually felt like you were suffering from some form of symptom?
You mean between symptoms when
yeah.
I didn't have any symptoms at all?
Right. What's
probably
the longest period of time?
10 minutes, maybe.
No way.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Oh, you poor thing, you.
So you mean...
I've had a headache constantly since the 16th of March of 1980. It's never gone away.
So even when
gotcha.
You go to sleep,
so you know it gives a whole new spin to that. Not tonight, dear. I've got a headache.
Right.
Because,
yeah.
Because I really do have a headache.
Barup. In other words, you're saying that you could be the poster girl for that particular saying, right?
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, can
or
you
any
well,
of the any of the multitude of pain medications
sure.
out there?
Well, when was it? Okay. Oh boy, that is so disheartening.
And it blows
my heart just goes out to you, my dear. When was the last time that you can remember prior to all these events happening? What would have been that date when you could say, you know what, July 22nd, 1967 was my last day of normalcy? I mean, what can you narrow it down?
Mid May 1976 is when the sound started. Nothing was ever the same after that.
So you had nothing prior to that kind of leading up to you?
Nope.
It just happened like overnight?
Well, I have to take that back, you know, because to my knowledge, no, I did not have. But my aunt reported to me many years ago that when I was a very young child, I used to be sitting there playing, and all of a sudden she said you would turn your head like you could hear something, but we couldn't hear anything. Or you would be standing there and you'd be playing and just stock still and put your hands up to your ears.
Wow.
And she said, you know, I really thought you were empty upstairs for a while, because she said you'd get this strange look on your face, and she said we couldn't hear anything. But I do know that my mother tells me that I would cover my ears and scream if I hear water going down the drain, the vacuum running, or the steam train, anything of low frequency. So it's still the same thing, but nothing happened beyond that time that I recall up until 1976 when I was 30 years old.
Wow.
My Lord.
That's wild. Once again, just for my benefit so that I can understand, this is kind of crazy for me to take all in, Charlotte, so please be patient with me. Real
That's
quickly,
okay.
real quickly, give me a real quick rundown again of what your symptoms are in relation to an event.
If I'm sleeping and I wake up and I have a really bad cramp in the back of my right leg and it goes into my knee and I feel it in my hip when I get up to walk, then I know that Peru, Brazil, or Colombia is going to have an earthquake within 72 hours or less. And that's how I do that. Okay. If it's on the left leg, then I can add Ecuador to that list. If I wake up and my left eye is bothering me to even blink it, and the left side of my face feels like it doesn't belong to me, that's always chilly.
Okay.
And a major migraine goes with chilly. And chilly is one of the areas I get very concerned about, so I pay very close attention to that one. If I have a really bad headache and I'm getting real sharp, jabby heart pain, that's always Mexico. And if it's my left shoulder blade, it's always Japan. If it's my right shoulder blade, it's always the Kuril Islands.
Golly.
If it goes clear across the upper back, it's Indonesia. And each part of the body responds to different geographical locations.
That's wild.
All right, and that leads me to this next sidebar. You're in Oregon, right?
I'm in Oregon.
Do they have any good Tex-Mex restaurants there where they have Mexican food, margaritas?
Oh, we've got some good restaurants here. I don't know of any Tex-Mex restaurants per se, but we have a lot of good Mexican restaurants here.
Okay. No, I'm not going where you think I'm going, John. So my question is, how could you discern? If I don't ask this, Charlotte, then I'm going to get a bunch of U2Us. I hate U2Us.
Okay, that's fine.
But my question is, how do you discern a real event from, let's say, you go and have Mexican or whatever dinner, and it creates a heartburn? How do you discern a food-induced symptom from what is legitimately something that's documented that you can foresee?
Well, I guess I'll have to say that the good Lord has taken care of that, because I haven't been physically ill except one time with the flu since all this started. I don't get colds anymore. I don't have anything. If it's a symptom, or if it's a pain or a feeling in my body, then it's always related to seismic activity. And on top of that, I have my group that contact me if they have a symptom, and if we're the same, then I know it's a symptom. That's a good part about having this email group, because we verify each other, and that makes it easier to identify a place if everybody's having the same symptom.
Has there been some type of poll or census to be able to find out if there are others like you that are able to sense what you're able to sense? And if so, how many of them are there?
Well, okay, Project Migraine, we had 30 people. I think we had 50 at one point. We ended up with 30, and some would hear the sound. Some would feel the pain. Some would have both. Very few had both. But even at that, when there was a series of events coming up and people would be reporting their information to Chris, if I didn't feel it, he wouldn't put the warning out. But back in 1980, I would talk to people, and maybe two at the most out of 10 people would say, yeah, I felt something, or yeah, I might have heard something. But now it's 3 and 4 out of 5 people. Each time there's another major event, there's a whole new group of people that become sensitized and start reacting to the environment.
Charlotte, I've got to ask you before we get into some member questions, and I'm sure you've probably already seen your thread and read some of them, and we've just kind of picked some certain ones that we like.
That's good.
But you know, John has really done a fantastic job of documenting all the things that you've really been involved in over the last 30-plus years. But, you know, where do you see yourself at 62 now, Charlotte, going from here? I mean, what is your ultimate goal with your abilities that you have?
Well, I have a book which I hope will be out by the end of the year, maybe a little later than that, and that will help, I think, get the word out to more and more people. My whole premise of all of this is not so much being out there saving lives, is, of course, that's very important, but it's teaching other people that they can protect their own lives by knowing what their body's telling them. And so I call it preparedness through awareness, because if you know what you're feeling for your area or what you should feel for your own area, then you never need to be surprised by an earthquake.
Okay. May I do, John, may I do a minor sidebar?
What would prevent you? Could I stop you?
No, but I mean, at least I ask your permission.
Well,
before
thank you
I
for that.
You.
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I want to be sure I'm etiquette here.
All right. Charlotte,
this is more personal than it is anything. My wife of 21 years has always had migraines, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And hers, obviously, thank God, are not near like yours. I mean, she doesn't have them 24/7 like obviously you do. But do you think people that are in migraine prone, if you will, do you think they're more susceptible to what you guys can visualize or feel about upcoming events?
I believe that it hits the weakest link of the body. So if you have migraines on a regular basis and you're sensitive, you bet you're going to have more of them. If you have a old back injury, yes, that pain's going to hit your back and make it much, much worse. So yes, I do believe that that people do feel more of these things if they've already got an existing condition. If you have a heart condition, then you have to be extremely careful, because there's no doubt in my mind this stuff kills. I know 3 people that have died. So
Wait. You know 3 people that have died because of the intense migraine that they've had?
No, not just migraines, just of the symptoms related to the earthquake stuff.
My Lord. Were these people of your group that you have
The old group, yes. Uh-huh. They were.
I want to do a quick follow-up, David, and excuse me, on what he started off here. I'm curious. Does a region or locality, can one, if they have the sensing symptoms like you have, if they move to another part of the world, do they decrease or increase in some cases?
Well, when I was in Salem, I felt, with St. Helens, I was about 2 to 4 blocks in from the river, and I was in constant pain all the time. And I felt anything. It didn't matter where it was. I would really got severely slammed in Salem. But when I moved to California, those symptoms eased off, because those are mostly earthquakes, whereas in Salem I was picking up mostly volcanic from the Cascades.
Right.
And, of course, and the rivers and so on, the fault lines. And then when I went to Colorado for testing, I felt fairly decent until I was going through Denver, and they were working on 2 separate corners building. And I told the cab driver, I said, is there a fault through here? And he said, I don't think so. And I said, well, there's going to be an earthquake in this area. And he looked at me really funny. And it wasn't 6 months later they had an earthquake that hit those 2 areas. And it wasn't a big quake, but it was definitely a quake.
Hmm.
And then I was looking at the mountains there in Boulder before I left. And I looked toward them and made my head hurt. And I said, what are those mountains called? And they told me the Flatirons, and of course that would be the shape. And I said, ha ha, maybe it's because they're iron, because I couldn't look toward them. It made my head hurt so bad I had to get out of that area. I just wasn't comfortable.
Have you ever flown, like by jet?
No, I've been asked not to.
Really?
Why is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, because I affect equipment. And I know I was doing, back in 1980, they had me calling on a regular basis to a special number to United Airlines. And they told me one day, laughingly, though, they said, Charlotte, if you ever fly, please don't fly United.
Oh, my goodness.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. I'm serious. I'm very serious. And but I do. I used to knock radios off, TVs off. I put streetlights out as I drive under them. Pop machines, anything with infrared is all messed up if I'm around it at all.
Now, you realize that I've got to do another sidebar because you've gone into this. You've opened up.
You opened up
a can of X-File worms for me.
Okay, X-Filer, go to it.
I know X-File. I live and breathe X-Files, by the way. Their new movie is soon to be released. Sorry. God, this drives me absolutely insane. So you're not kidding when you say United Airlines told you not to fly United.
I am not kidding. When
okay, then
the,
my next question is, do they tell you to fly another airline to maybe sabotage them?
No, they did not. I don't fly. I would lose my hearing if I were to fly. They cannot pressurize low enough for my hearing.
Ah, wow. Which you found out when you were in the chamber many years prior.
Yes, that's true.
All right. Okay, that makes perfect sense. All right. Well, it's been long awaited, and I hope we can slap some of these out quick enough. We've got some member questions here, and my apologies to all our members. If we don't get to your question, it's probably because Charlotte has already asked or answered that question in her own way. So, Dave, do you want to start us off?
I would love to, because I'm really Charlotte, as you well know, is an above topsecret.com member. Our members pick up these weird names, and Johnny and I 99% of the time have problems pronouncing it. But John, I figured out this first one. It's damn the PT boat.
All right.
Oh, I saw that one.
Yeah, full speed ahead. I think so. Second part of it. Okay, damn the PT boat says, I'm from the Reno area, Charlotte, and I'm also on your email list. And the only question I have right now is, what is making you believe that the activity, the swarms here that they're experiencing are magma-related?
Because the Reno area has the symptoms that are almost identical to the Sierras, which include lots of stomach pain, a little bit of seismic flu, and just the general feeling that it's volcanic, not just earthquake. If it was earthquake alone, it would just be probably headaches or other body symptoms. But when it gets into the low back and it gets into the stomach, then I know it's volcanic in origin.
Okay. Cat Tracks asks this, says, my question is this. When will your book be out, and what will the title be, and do you think a double-digit earthquake will happen in our lifetime?
The book will be out, as I stated before, probably by the end of this month, this year. The title will be Earthquake Language, The Charlotte King Effect. And do I believe there will be a double-digit earthquake? I sincerely hope not, but it's a good possibility.
Okay, White Raven says, which parts of North America, Charlotte, do you get the most activity in, and does it differ from the most common areas that you're associated with?
Well, I guess probably the Pacific Northwest and California, Oregon, Washington, Mexico, all of the areas along the around the water. The Ring of Fire, probably I would have to say, is the most common areas that I feel the most symptoms. Although I do feel the Wasatch, New Madrid, as I stated before, and I feel other areas like Japan and China and Chile and whatever.
Okay. The Borg asked this. I have been following these groups of earthquakes over the course of this past year and have noticed that there seems to be a progression from the Indonesian quake. My question to you is this, Char. Is there any truth to the idea that one massive earthquake can cause other earthquakes all around a tectonic plate?
You know, I think there probably is. I look at patterns, and for instance, if there's an earthquake in Greece, then I watch for an earthquake in the Caspian Sea, the Aegean Sea, the Ionian Sea, and or following Turkey. And those always seem to tie in together. Mount St. Helens goes with Mount Etna, Mount Kilauea, and with also Montserrat. And they all fall in the same timeline. One goes in another, and it tends to be, I don't know if it has something to do with the frequency or the underground network of tubes and tunnels and whatever, but I know that there are patterns that follow these events.
Okay, Just Mike says, Charlotte, I know there's a lot of concern right now in the talk, of course, in the mainstream general media about the big one happening in California somewhere along the line within the San Andreas Fault System. And his question is, do you perceive anything in the foreseeable future respect of the Cascadia Fault?
The Cascadia Fault is a real concern of mine, obviously, because I'm right here and off the Juan de Fuca, and they've been having thousands of quakes out there. And I believe those also are definitely volcanic in origin. And I'm very concerned about them. And I was told one time by an emergency management person that if we had a quake in a 9.2 range or so off the Oregon coast, Cascadia zone, Juan de Fuca plate, that every home between Portland and Eugene would be shaken off its foundation.
Wow. Holy mackerel.
So we're talking 150 miles or more.
Our last question comes from, and I believe that would be Chice61, or it might be Cheese61. Hi, Charlotte. I'm in Chicago, and as you know, we had an earthquake in this area a few weeks back. I've been seeing that there is some unusual things happening lately, quakes in my area, tornadoes in California, fires in Florida, etc. What I'd like to know is if you think that all these things combined may mean that we're due for something catastrophic in the way of a major earthquake or perhaps even the volcano in Yellowstone.
Okay. All the things combined, I think things are just happening. It's just really active. And, of course, we have much better media reporting these things. The Wasatch, New Madrid, especially the New Madrid there in Chicago area, I'm very concerned about that area. I've been watching it closely for several months. As far as Yellowstone, Yellowstone is kind of interesting. It has very distinct symptoms. It has extreme low back pain. It has seismic flu. It has vertigo. And those areas that of the Wasatch, Idaho, Utah, Montana, Wyoming, and or into the New Madrid, they all kind of tie in together. So if one area is active, start watching the other ones because they do tend to go together.
Okay.
Well, before John ends us and takes us on home, so to speak, there is probably one of the most important questions I've been dying to ask you, and Johnny always wants me to put them at the end of the show so that way he can edit it out if he doesn't
like it. Oh,
Lord,
that scares me already.
No, but I have to ask. I mean, and because we're about the same age, I mean, I know you're going to catch this real fast, but I'm going to throw it. And what's going to be funny is all the members are going to go, who the heck is that? You're not any kin to Penny King, are you?
No, I'm not.
Are her dad Sky?
Nope, not that one either.
And you know what I'm talking
Although
about,
Although I used
right?
to watch it all the time.
Oh, there you go. I knew you were going to come through for me, babe. Sky King, man. Now, how many guys would have a Cessna airplane and be a Western star and be successful?
Yeah.
I love that show.
Speaking of Cessnas, small aircraft tend to crash 2 to 3 days before large events, and the Cessnas and the small beach craft tend to be the ones that do, and it has to do, I think, with their sensitivity of their instrumentation. And they crash, you'll notice, just after taking off or just before they land, they're at a specific altitude, and that altitude is where that pulse goes through before the earthquake hits.
Really?
Wow.
That's pretty interesting.
Now, who knew that a silly little Dave Rabbit sidebar was going to bring us to something that I think is really amazing? Because
right.
we have Cessnas crashing all the time here in Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and watch what happens when they do.
I have to ask this question, and this is just for my own personal benefit, this question. And I don't even know if your team has researched or investigated this, but has there ever been a tie-in with some of your sensing and symptoms being associated with possibly UFO or paranormal sightings?
I don't know. I can tell you that I have been a contactee since 1949.
Really?
If that'll answer any of your questions.
There's our next interview show, Dave.
I love it already.
Charlotte, we can't thank you enough for stopping by with us on the ATS Mix and giving all our listeners who have really been chomping at the bits waiting for this some great material. And my heart goes out to you, my dear, having to suffer like that 24/7. I can't even imagine it.
Well, you know, it's after a while you reach a point where you don't. It's not what I'm feeling now would have killed me probably in 1980. Now it's okay. And it'll probably ramp up again when something big comes up again.
Well, I hope we can count on you in the future, Charlotte, for, you know, now that you got Johnny's and my email address, that, you know, that if you got something that really important coming on or whatever, I mean, we could always put it in as a special announcement or whatever in one of the shows. We'd love to do that.
That would be great. Thank you. And Johnny.
Hi.
Are you there?
Hi.
Hey, you know the email I sent you and I showed you all those hits that I had on there with the little X's on the bottom?
Right.
Did you look at those? Okay, well, I got two more on here. So
okay.
I got two more. I got the Kermadec Islands.
Right.
And I got Greece.
Oh, excellent.
So they both hit.
I got to tell you, you blew me away when you started talking about Colombia and then the little regional town that was outside of Colombia, or excuse me, outside of Bogota in Colombia, mm-hmm. by the name of Ibagué, because my family and I have been to, we lived in Bogota for a number of years, and then we also visited Ibagué quite often. So it was the first time in 30-some-odd years that I had heard the term Ibagué come up, and I'm going, holy mackerel, how would she know about this little tiny area called Ibagué? And
but you know they say that a lot in San Francisco, right?
So that was a... so that was a... Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I got a 2x4 with your name on it, Dave. I got a 2x4 with your name on it.
Is that right next to Hebe Gates?
You know, my very first job was answering phones and radio stations.
Oh, was it really?
When I was 13 years old.
Sorry. I am so sorry.
Sort of like the Enola Gay, right?
That's right. Anyway.
Well, without making your husband jealous, just for me and Johnny, and I know I can speak on behalf of him for this part. Charlotte, we love you. You're a great girl.
Thanks. I thank you, and I'll be in touch, and don't hesitate to call me anytime. If you need to talk with me about any event or want to talk with me, I only need a couple hours of warning.
Tell everybody.
Well, we want to remind. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, sorry. We're on the same wavelength. Tell everybody again how they can get a hold of you and where your website is located at.
Okay. They can reach me by emailing me at sharking, C-H-A-R-K-I-N-G, advisor, V-I-S-E-R.net. My website is www.visor.net/tilde/sharking/. And I also have a pamphlet that's available for $25 with all the information in it if anyone's interested.
Okay. Well, Charlotte, if you'll hang on a second, Johnny, I want to give you our personal thank yous personally. So we'll be right back after this.
ATS Mix.
Yeah, listen up.
From above, top secret.
Jesus Christ.
.com.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause. By giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
They said that he was lost and could never be found again, but we dug under a rock and found him. Yes, it's once again Bill Irvin, the Skeptic Overlord. Hi, Bill. Welcome back.
Hello. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, he's BSing you. 3 weeks, Bill. I mean, 3 weeks. Where the hell you been for the last 3 weeks?
Well, I've been incognito. I've been looking for this video of the space alien in Denver.
I saw that one, by the way. Do you want to talk about that first?
Yeah, actually, you know what? That is the and what I've done is I've taken a look at the most popular threads over the past 2 weeks. And what do you know? That is the most popular thread right now. A video that purportedly shows a living, breathing space alien to be shown Friday in Denver. 673 replies started on May 28. And this guy, Jeff Peckman, apparently has claimed that he's been, you know, regularly visited by a space alien for some time, and he has a video and is using that as evidence to propose some type of ballot initiative to create a extraterrestrial affairs commission in Denver to prepare for the ultimate close encounter and meet and greet, I suppose, with his alien friends.
Every town needs one.
Are they going to have like a wine and cheese thing too, Bill?
You betcha.
You know?
Well, we need to know a little bit more about the alien physiology before we can know what kind of foods we can share.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah.
So I don't know if it would be wines and cheese. It could be, you know, well, it could be, you know, who knows? It could be apple juice and bugs or something.
It takes,
you know,
meet and greet to a whole new level.
It sure does. But anyway, we laugh, and this guy, you know, clearly believes he really has something. And the one still of the video that's purported to be from him doesn't really show much at all, although it does have some similarities to things that a lot of members say they'd seen before. The interesting thing is that the day this news came out, there was an alternate version of a video spread rather quick, and it was originated by a paranormal group, also in Denver, oddly enough, who wanted to quickly show how easy and inexpensively a video that could pass muster could be thrown together.
Right.
But a lot of people in the news community were hoodwinked, I guess, by this particular video, because I have a couple of friends who are reporters, and it got quickly circulated in amongst the reporters trying to cover this thing as the actual video. And there's some now speculation that was done to to cast aspersions on this guy Jeff Peckman, who's got the supposedly real video. So there's all kinds of stuff going on. But nobody has, other than the reporters who were there at the event Friday, May 30th in Denver, no one has seen the videos. Some of the reporters said it was interesting. Others said it looked like it could be fake. It's still a mixed jury, even from the people that saw the video.
Yeah, and I saw the video. I mean, you posted it in our little...
No, that's the fake one.
That's the fake one.
Yeah, that's the fake one.
Oh, then I haven't seen the real one then.
Yeah, no video has been released as of yet.
Oh, okay.
There's only a few select people that have seen it. Paola Harris in Italy has seen it, and I believe one other UF old school person has seen it, but I don't recall that gentleman's name.
So how does it differ from the fake one? Obviously, it's real, but I mean,
we don't know because we haven't seen it. I mean, we can speculate on a number of things that would make the setting rather absurd. I mean, number one, why would an alien travel all this way just to peek into somebody's window?
Peeping Tom, maybe.
Right. Number two, from the descriptions of the alien, and this is the one that always bothers me about these things, why are these grays always naked?
Yeah.
Think about that. Apparently it's another naked gray. So you got a naked alien traveling millions of light years to peek into somebody's window.
I heard maybe they don't have porn on their planet.
That's probably what it is.
They're trying to get on the internet. That's what it is.
Yeah, if we just
you got internet in there, man?
Yeah, we get a couple of them to play butt darts, we'll be in good shape.
Oh.
I don't know. Do they have butts? Do grays have butts? I guess they do, huh?
They have to extricate somewhere.
Well, not necessarily. They're aliens, right?
Well, they eat, right? That's got to go through the system and come out some way.
Well, I'm not a biologist, but how do you know that, Bill?
Actually, I have heard some different thoughts on how they do absorb food, none that I want to get into right now.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, well, very good. Okay, that answers my question.
We're getting sidetracked here.
Yes,
moving right along, the next most popular thread by Matrix Prophet started on May 23rd, 429 replies entitled, "Why Are Atheists Atheists?" And it begins, "This thread is not about bashing atheists, but to make an attempt to understand them. ATS has had a big influx of evangelical Christians, a large group of them within the last few months. This may be possible with atheists too, but I just don't know. Is it possible that the former are just louder and more tenacious?" And it gets into, obviously, with over 400 replies, a rather interesting thread and a lot of questions about what drives people to be atheists and also across a broad range of faiths. Very, very interesting read.
Right.
Going on to the third most popular in so far as the number of replies, 358 replies, begun by, why do people pick names like this? It's Alex G, Alex G 141989. And it's titled, "To the deeply religious who feel God has made a change in their lives, answer this." And 358 replies. And it is another thread on religion. Surprise, surprise. If God can use his omnipresence to make a change in your life, why doesn't he do it at least for the kids in the world, in the third world countries, rather, that can't get a meal and die because of it? And, the age-old question that we see. And he has taken to task quite a bit. A lot of excellent replies from a number of members, again, in the Conspiracies in Religion forum. And now, as if we're going down the scale in core topics, the next most popular one posted by Q-Ball on May 20th, 349 replies, titled "Reptilians." There is nothing to they exist. So we go from religion to reptilians, and it just keeps going from there. Anyway, it actually is a pretty good thread. Don't let that word "reptilians," as the first word in the title, fool you. It does make a lot of good points that it's just silly to believe that there are some reptilian shapeshifters that we're finding in these YouTube videos. However, there is a lot of evidence that there were some type of reptile-type creatures in seen by various cultures throughout the world. And a lot of that makes it into the thread, too, and that makes for a great and interesting read. And now, a tongue-in-cheek thread authored by the Soldier of Darkness that makes a lot of good points, 342 replies, authored on May 27th, entitled, "The World Should Be Turned Into a Giant Police State."
Yeah, we're looking for that music.
Right, yeah. Why do I say this, you ask? Because we as human beings do not deserve the freedoms we already have. Imagine a world where everything is monitored and controlled. Every person from birth is educated and trained to fulfill a specific duty to the state. Every person is assigned a place to live, is allowed a place to have one partner, one child, and who would be genetically modified before birth to remove any weak or diseased DNA strands. And he goes on. And it is literally the scary ultimate conspiracy of the police state that he's proposing. He ends up one world, one society, one choice. And very interesting thread, a lot of great comments. I took that opening post to be tongue-in-cheek in order to inspire discussion, and boy, did it, with 342 replies. Wow. And next up, authored by The Coward on May 20th, 338 replies. This one was a really excellent thread, and caught a lot of attention in our email newsletter titled "Look Around You, It's Happening. The Beginning of UFO Disclosure is Now." And he makes a lot of points about just the overwhelming number of UFO sightings and UFO interviews with people who've seen the sightings, and just a huge ramp up, and I'm sure you've noticed, in the mainstream news that is covering UFO sightings, not just in the U.S., but around the world. And with 338 replies, a lot of good material posted in there. You know, rounding things off, I'm going to read. Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and you know what? I find it kind of amazing that there does seem to be a lot more of UFOs being mentioned in the mainstream media, and I'm wondering if a lot of that might not be due to the fact of the Vatican doing what it did, where it made up the post worldwide saying, hey, guess what? It's okay to believe in aliens. There are space friends, and they may even be absolved from original sin.
Wow.
So, the silence was deafening there for a second.
Well, no, I had my mute button on. Sorry.
Oh, Johnny's going to talk. Let's mute it. Yeah, right.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I had dogs barking in the background. I was trying to be courteous.
He didn't want you to hear all the snickers and guffaws in the background while you were talking. Yeah, that did spark a lot of it. But, I mean, it's almost as if that statement from the Vatican came out because of the ramp up in news media devoted to UFOs and aliens and ETs and so on and so on. We have seen a lot of it. There's just so many ways to think of it. A lot of the stuff we've seen in the mainstream media, we know on ATS that they're covering what many of our members believe to be hoaxes many of the times.
Right.
And other times they do actually cover some pretty good sightings, but it really is interesting to see the mainstream news try to stumble about and find expert commentary when just, you know, there's tons of it here on ATS, folks. 24th, am I a racist? 332 replies helps him figure out if he is indeed a racist or not. The secret of gravity revealed, scientific experiment included. A really interesting thread authored by All Is One. Started on May 25th, 327 replies, and the final one we'll talk about here, Questions to an Occultist, authored by the Soldier of Darkness, 315 replies, started on May 24th. Another really interesting thread with a lot of thought-provoking content in there as well. So it's been a busy couple weeks. I want to add also that thanks to some coverage of in the mainstream news of topics on ATS, and I'm sure in no small part the amazing Jesse Ventura interview, we have had the biggest month ever on ATS with just over 2 million visits.
Wow.
The month of May, and just over 10 million pages viewed in May. So it was our biggest month ever by quite a margin.
Well, the Jesse Ventura interview, no question about it, and I'm not saying it because Johnny and I did the show, but it really was. We have had nothing but just huge accolades over that thing. So.
Oh, and I've seen and I've received a lot of comments from people, and I have sent it to a couple people in the news media, like I said, that I know that they feel that it is the most comprehensive Jesse they've ever heard. Just, you know, wow. Jesse, the best Jesse that they've heard ever.
You know, Johnny and I said, you know, we're not going to do what these other guys are doing, because every damn one of them, they were asking the same questions, and I was answering the questions before, you know, from Larry King and all these guys. I said, you know, that's crap.
Every channel I turned on, it was the same answer to the same questions.
Same crap. And so I told Johnny, and then I told Jennifer, Jesse's publicist, I said, look, we're not going to do that. You know, I mean, you know, we're going to sit there and talk about things that, you know, our membership at AboveTopSecret.com are interested in. And we're going to talk about things that, you know, that people really want to know. They don't give a rat's buttocks about some of this crap. They just sit there because they've got these questions to ask him. And he never gets a chance to be passionate. Christ, he went down so many roads, you know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and
there were so many jaw droppers, but for me, it was a very subtle, but just sort of, you know, a jaw dropper that sticks with you is, you know, for how often and how long rather I've been paying attention to government conspiracies. I didn't know we had troops in the Philippines after the Vietnam War.
I didn't either. That blew me away too. Well, you know, I knew that we had guys, you know, in other areas other than Vietnam. I mean, Cambodia and Laos. I know we had CIA troops combat troops in there because they were trying to put the squelch on the Ho Chi Minh Trail scenario. So I knew all that. But the Philippines just blew me away. You know, it really did. I'm thinking, what the hell are we doing in the Philippines? And you notice he was very guarded about Johnny keeps sending me notes.
Giving love notes over there?
No, he's giving me, you know, because we have to stay within 20 minutes on your show, and he's giving me a damn countdown, and it keeps going down because I keep ranting on. Okay, sorry, John.
We have member questions to get to.
That's correct.
I know. He goes, 11 minutes in, and then I start talking. He goes, 9, 8, 7. Sorry. But the Jesse Ventura interview was one of the best interviews that Johnny and I've done. It really is. I think so.
And now, definitely. Member questions.
Sorry. I didn't start my little clock, so yeah. Okay. Here we go into the Skeptic Overlord's favorite part of the show. And if you'd like to ask Skeptic a question, please go to the ATS Mix information area, and it'll say Ask Skeptic Overlord and post your question, and it will be asked depending on when he connects with us again.
If we have time.
Sorry. If your questions don't get asked, it's because Dave spent too much time on Jesse Ventura. Okay, here we go. First member, Cynic, says, greetings, Skeptic Overlord. I was wondering what you thought about the ability of reptilian life to reproduce seemingly on its own.
That's all you need to add? There's more to the question there.
The stuff didn't make sense to me. The fact that a Komodo dragon had given birth without additional help is interesting, to say the least. I guess so.
Yes, sure it is. I've actually really never thought about it. So that seems rather boring, doesn't it?
Good answer. Next member is Timber, and Timber asked this question: have you ever been asked, Bill, to pull or remove a story from ATS by an external organization or legal entity?
I think we've already covered this.
Next question, please.
Yes, on two occasions. Go.
Well, wait a minute. I was just updating the thing, and now you're going. Okay,
Green-Eyed Skeptic, Leo would be the next one.
Skeptic ignored. Okay, Green-Eyed Leo. Okay.
You're updating while you're doing the show? I don't believe it.
Sorry. What is the biggest topic, as you believe, conspiracy that has caused your opinion to be changed, Bill, based upon what you have read here? In other words, he's saying, before ATS, you did not believe in UFOs. After ATS, you do.
Well, it's not necessarily UFOs. I'm still very skeptical about UFOs. But it doesn't mean I still don't enjoy running a forum that has a lot to do with UFOs. I think mainly where my opinions have changed is in things related to 9/11, and especially that, you know, it's beginning to feel more and more like there is some manipulation in a conspiracy behind how off track 9/11 truth has become through the years. I believe there's some manipulation there and making them go down, you know, wild rabbit holes. So maybe that's the one area where I've because of the that's the one that's on the top of my head because of the discussions at ATS. I've had opinions change and change and change and change and keep changing.
Wonderful answer! Our next member is Roswell One, who asked this. I have a question, Bill. Why does the short stories form appear in the ATS board home and not on the BTS board? It just seems more suited to BTS to me, but those are just my thoughts.
Well, the intent was that the short stories, the original intent of the forum was that short stories and the themes and topics covered should be ATS themes, conspiracy themed, UFO theme, alien themes, that kind of thing.
Okay, dropping down to more serotonium, please. Regarding the Clifford Stone FOIA documents, are you and the other three amigos considering releasing them and our analysis in a print format or, as it's also known, book? Also, can I have a T-shirt? My signature is begging and everything. No, you can't have a T-shirt. I'll answer for the skeptic. But
no, but you can have some turtle wax.
Oh, that was good, Bill.
That was real good. Now answer his question.
Maybe some Rice-A-Roni.
San Francisco. I love Rice-A-Roni.
I don't think so. Actually, we are working ultimately on making the database of documents even more accessible once there's a critical mass, and we're actually pretty close. We're going to be launching a searchable database that will be far more accessible than a book, where you can actually search for keywords in the documents and do a better job of finding the actual FOIA document you're looking for. And that's the problem with a lot of these documents online, is they're just, you know, PDF files or graphics, and it's impossible to search them. You go to a site that has a huge directory of these things, and all you see is the document title. And you very often, or even the cryptic number of the document, you have no idea what's in there. And that's ultimately where we're going with this, is to not only just have a searchable database of what's in these documents, but also a searchable database of the researchers' comments and their opinions on what the documents cover. So it should be a twofold thing that makes it far more accessible than just book form.
Okay. Downtown 436 asks a question that a lot of members have asked in the past. What do you see as a likely scenario for the next 5 to 10 years in terms of geopolitics and in the terms of the various conflicts that are happening right now?
Well, we only really have 4 years left till 2012, right?
So we only need to worry about it won't matter after that.
That's right. So geopolitics, my head's buried so much in the ATS stuff that I just can't think so broad. But I think this coming election, we're going to see a lot of chatter on ATS about this election coming up, and it looks like it's going to be down to two choices you'd rather not to have to choose between. But it looks like it's going to be McCain and Obama, and I generally like Obama. I just think I don't see him as being presidential, and McCain, he worries me. So the choices I don't like, and that will determine really our position on the world stage, the policies of the new president. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with all these things that have been set in place with the Bush administration, now that someone new is behind the reins. And if it's the same old with McCain, it's going to get ugly. If it's big change with Obama, it's going to get ugly. So
I think if that's what they call a no-win situation there, Bill.
Yeah.
All right, last one on page four, and then we're going to wrap it up. And that is from our old friend Antar. And basically what she says is, do you think it'll ever become a time to where you will go out kind of like an entourage rock star kind of thing to meet with some amazing ATS members at some locale or whatever? And then she says, bring Dave and Johnny along. We could be your roadies. In other words, she wants to know about a social scenario to where we could get together with the membership could get together with you and maybe the other amigos, kind of like the New York City thing, but on obviously a lot more economical social basis.
Yeah, we've been talking about that, and one of the things that could ultimately come, and I think we talked about this on the show, is regional user groups of ATS members that want to get together and have meetings and maybe do things in real life, offline research for topics that they all are really into, and that could bring a whole new perspective. And some of the thoughts were for myself and Mark, or you guys and others, to just, you know, occasionally visit one of these user groups and meet everybody and do something cool, like have some drinks, go bowling, play pool, whatever. It'd just be a lot of fun.
All right, boss. I know we're taxing you and Julie's nighttime extravaganza, so I guess we'll let you go, brother.
Okay.
See you next Monday?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that guy.
Thanks, Bill.
Bill, see you later, brother. Well, John, that was another great show. Congrats, brother. And until next time, I'm Dave Rabbit.
And I'm Johnny Ananas. We'll look forward to seeing you next on the ATS Mix.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Ananas. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll be right back.